Let's turn our Bible to John 14, 25 to 27, and I'm going to read from the NASB translation. So verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and nor let it be fearful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for today, Lord. This morning, we can come before you. We can start our morning with your word, Lord God. And Father, right now, I want to invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into each every one of our place or wherever we might be, maybe on the way to work, or maybe they were at work already. God, I just pray wherever they might be that your spirit will make known to them, Lord. God, we pray that today, this morning, you will speak into their heart, Lord. God, they give the ear to hear and the eye to see what you are speaking to them and showing them today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So as I was praying and asking God what to share at EMP, he gave me the word peace. That's all. Just the word. And then, but he led me to this verses, John 14, 25 to 27. And in fact, this is something God has been speaking to my heart. And I think he wants me to share with you all this morning as well. So let's look at God's word. So John chapter 14 and 17 are known as the farewell discourse, which are Jesus' last word for his disciple at the night before his crucifixion. And I think we all agree that the last word or instruction given by someone before their death are considered extremely important. So in the first part of the discourse, Jesus tells the disciple that he will be going away to the Father, and that he will send the Holy Spirit to guide them. And Jesus bestowed the peace on the disciple and then commanded them to love one another. So the key theme here in the discourse is the Trinitarian love, for sure, because John is the gospel of love. But I wonder the importance of this peace, which Jesus said in verse 27, before commanding the disciple to love one another. And he said he will give peace to the disciple. And he also emphasized the type of peace that he gives is different than what the world can offer. So the word peace, I did a little bit of word study as usual. So it's actually really common in English. I mean, I think we say that all the time as well. And it's also a very important word in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which, again, we are very familiar with. And when we were in Israel, when we were traveling, we often hear Jewish people actually use this as a greeting to one another. And in the New Testament, the Greek word for peace is eirene. Hope I pronounced that right. The basic meaning of peace is completion, wholeness. And for example, such as wholeness of body, well-being. And we found it in Genesis 43:27, and Joseph's asked his brother when he saw them about their shalom, their peace, and also asked if the father, Jacob, is well, and which is also translated as shalom. So in here we can see it's referring to someone's well-being and their welfare. And we also find it in Psalm 38:3, and there's no soundness in my flesh because your indignation. And there's no shalom in my bones because of my sin. So it could also mean the well-being or welfare of a city. So we can see that in Jeremiah 29:7, seek the shalom of the city where I sent you to exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. And for the shalom, you will have shalom. So it could also mean the welfare of the city. So the core idea here is that life is really complex and full of moving paths, relationship and situation. And when all these are out of alignment or missing, then your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. And when you use the word shalom as a verb, it means to make something complete or to restore. And in the book of Proverbs, to heal and to reconcile a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when kingdom makes shalom with each other, they don't just stop fighting. They actually make a covenant with each other to work together for the mutual benefit. So, but the history tells us the shalom didn't last. You know, therefore, the prophet Isaiah also tells us that he looked forward to a prince of shalom who will bring the true peace that lasts forever. And then he will heal all the broken relationship and restore everything. And that's why in the New Testament, Jesus' birth was announced as the arrival of the Eirene. So the Greek word, again, for the peace. He offered his peace to others, and just as what we just read today, and the peace that I give to you all in John 14, 27. So how do I know if I have the peace? You know, it reminds me of a story where Jesus fell asleep in the middle of the storm. And the scripture tells us that it was dark, it was windy, and the waves were breaking over the boats, and so that the boat was already filling up. But how do you fall asleep and, you know, during such things like this? And he was surely exhausted after a long day of preaching or ministry, but he didn't just knocked off. He actually, the scripture tells us, when Jesus went to sleep, he moved to the back of the boat, you know, where, you know, much more space, you can stretch out and get comfortable. And then he sleep on the pillow. Actually, I never really noticed that verses until I studied this. And I was like, wow, he actually slept on a pillow. So then we can confidently to conclude that he purposely go to sleep. He didn't just fall asleep. He make himself comfortable and to put himself in a position to go to sleep. And how could he do that when his disciple was so like afraid of their life and yelling? But remember that he already told the disciple that they were going, what they were going to do. In the very beginning, before their journey, he said, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. And Jesus could sleep in the midst of the storm because this spoken promise. So no storm could ever change his plan. So that's why he can sleep peacefully. So Jesus' disciple had heard the word, but I think sometimes they might miss the purpose of the whole Jesus command. And sometimes when Jesus says something, they hear it, but they probably miss out the whole point of it. So the storm must have caught the disciple off guard, even though they are really experienced fishermen, as we know. They woke Jesus up and asked him, teacher, do you not care? We are going to perish. And I was like reading the scripture, and I can actually feel his fear. And I can picture Peter yelling at the top of his lung. And the storm is not only revealing his boating expertise, even though he's an experienced fisherman, but I think also the storm kind of like review their emotion and feeling at the same time toward the storm. And sometimes it doesn't seem like God is in tune with our situation. He's sleeping, you know, whatever storm that you might be going through right now, whether it's your health, or finance, or relationship, or job, it can seem like God is sleeping in the boat. And when we find ourselves in a stormy condition like this, and we like the disciple, we may want to say, Jesus, wake up. We're in a mess right now. We are afraid. Do something. You know, and we might not going to make it, you know, and I don't know about the future. And in those times that when we feel so weak and helpless or out of control, and I think that's, you know, where Jesus' power is most visibly like strong. And Jesus go some of his best work, actually, in those moments when we don't feel like that he's working at all, you know. So the story continue, And we can see that Jesus actually got up and rebuked the storm and spoke to the sea, silent, be still. And these two simple phrases, but really powerful word, and the storm actually died down and become perfectly calm. This is what the verses tells us. And the peace that Jesus offers, not like others, the peace that produces internal calmness in the midst of the internal, external chaos. And we experience his peace when we hold on to Jesus' promise that he will get to the other side of the shore. And when we look back at John chapter 14, 20, or verse 25 and 26, and he said, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." And this statement, "these things that I've spoken to you," actually occur so many times throughout the whole discourse. The word of farewell spoken by Jesus are not to be forgotten. You have to remember that, you know, like we know that the verses in the Bible keep repeating. It's not that Jesus forgot that he has spoken that word already. It's Jesus want to call us attention. That's very important that we have to pay attention. So Jesus was saying that the word that has spoken is very important. All the things that he's spoken, all the promise that he's spoken in the Bible is very important. And we shouldn't be forgotten all these things. And Jesus want us to remember his promise by heart, actually, not just by our head, knowing that. Sometimes we read it, like, yeah, that's good to know. But then when you actually know that by heart, it's different. Because when you know it and you trust him from the bottom of your heart, and then that's what he says. So not let your heart be troubled and will be fearful. I would say, like, now the world may be falling apart, but you don't have to fall apart with it. And you can't always control what happened to you and what storm you may experience, but you do have control over how you respond to it. It doesn't mean that you won't have trouble, but it does mean the trouble won't have you. Relationship may fall apart, like, you know, job may lose and health may decline. The economic could continue to turn worse, you know, as a lot of people predicted. But Jesus says, silent, be still. And you can comfortably on your pillow because he got you in his hand. So this story actually spoke to me a lot personally. This story has so many facets. I know we all take away from it differently, but this story spoke to me personally lately because I find myself a little bit unrest and losing the peace in the midst of this whole COVID-19. Especially when I read the news and see the number of deaths goes up every day. And those are not just number. Like, sometimes I tell myself, those are not just number. They are life, you know, and those people are who have family and loved one. And my heart was troubled, actually, especially in the beginning of this whole pandemic. But instead of waking Jesus up, telling him my feeling like Peter does, I seek comfort from the world. I try to escape the feeling by making myself busy with work, study, or other activity. Not that those things are bad, but you know when you are using it as an escape or you just being busy, you know. And I also caught myself sleeping a lot. I still feel tired when I get up. And I also caught myself binging on junk food. You know, for everyone who knows me, that's very unusual. And I still, of course, I still pray to God. I pray for others. I pray for the world. I never talk to God about what is troubling me. And of course, none of, you know, what the worldly pleasure can comfort me. But in fact, it makes it worse. So at one point, I had to intentionally really go before God and tell him what is troubling me. And our God is so loving and gracious. He not only comforted me, but also gave me the peace, shalom, that I need in this time. And he reminded me of his word and his promise. He also led me to this new song. Recently, I fell in love with it, and it's called Peace. And one of the lyrics is actually saying, telling us that you give me peace. that holds me when I'm broken. And sweet peace that pass through understanding when the whole wide world is crashing down. I fall to my knee and breathe in your peace. Yeah, so it's really comforting to just hear that. So yeah, some of you may found yourself in a similar situation as I was. You may not be aware of the emotion that you have in the face of this pandemic or even the protests. And I have heard a lot of people having, mentally really challenged. They have a different form of addiction. They have sleeping problem, insomnia. They have like headache or even chronic migraine, chronic fatigue, and they have digestive problem. Or some of them, they have like impulsive behavior, like impulsive spending. You know, from a psychological standpoint, these are actually signs that your body is telling you that you may have, I'm not saying you have, but you may possibly have stressor in your life. But one thing I want to say that is, it's actually absolutely very normal to have these feelings, you know, in the face of a crisis like this, you know, but it's also very important to give yourself time to process and to get in touch with those feelings. This is the word that I quite use often lately. It's very important to get in touch with those feelings. You know, your feelings of distress and overwhelm, feelings of hopeless, feelings of sadness or frustration or fear, or, you know, very important, we feel out of control, like those like parts are missing or not in alignment or whatever that might be, you know. I really want to encourage you to bring them at the feet of Jesus and ask him to give you peace, the peace that comes from him, come from the Prince of Peace. So right now I want to invite you to really take a deep breath. Seriously, it's really cliche, but sometimes it's really you just like caught up with work and caught up with like busy life and, you know, caught up with business in your life. And sometimes you just forgot about how important sometimes just really have this, to check on yourself, have a deep breath and to be still and to get in touch with your feeling. And I just really want to invite you to ask God if there's anything that is taking away your peace lately, or like what I did. You might try to seek comfort from this world, I really encourage you to ask God, ask him to reveal to you. So as Kadia lead us into a time of worship, really we just take a deep breath, quiet down, and ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you, and then invite him and to bring peace and restore these things in your life. Thank you, Kadia. Yes, Father God, we are. God, we thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your love and for your grace in our life, Lord. God, we can't do anything without you, Lord God. God, I just pray today, God, we come before you as who we are, God, and to come and worship you and come and to give you our thoughts, our feelings, everything that is going on in our life, Lord. We offer that to you, God. God, we ask you to help us, Lord. We ask you to give us the peace that actually will endure, will last, Lord. God, that, Father, we may just, you help us, everyone who might be in that situation. God, we just pray that, your presence will make known to them, Lord God. And then they will invite your presence into their life today. God, we love you, and we pray all these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.